Last week, we looked at a serious warning on unbelief. Paul showed us how most of those children of Israel who left Egypt didn't enter into the promised land because of unbelief. But he tells us this week, there is a rest to those who believe. And he tells us at first what that rest is not, and then he tells us who that rest is. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. So he begins in verse 1 of Hebrews 4. And he says, let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Now the rest that Paul's talking about here is not the believer's eternal rest in heaven that's promised us. No believer, no child of God will ever come short of entering into that rest. We won't come short of it because God promised it. Christ purchased it for us. So we're not going to come short of that rest. The rest he's talking about is the rest that we have in this life. The rest that we have in Christ. Now we know that we're promised future eternal rest in glory. But children of God are also promised rest in Christ now. You don't have to wait for all that in the future. You're promised rest in Christ now. We rest from the works of the law. We rest from the bondage to sin. We rest from the fear of death. We rest from religious ceremony and religious motions and traditions. We're free to rest in Christ, free to rest in His righteousness. And Paul tells us now to fear, lest we come short of enjoying this rest in this life. And this is not a fear like we fear the righteousness of Christ won't be enough, so we've got to do something to add to it. This is not a fear or a doubt that God's grace will fail. We know better than that. This is not a fear that somehow we fear God's wrath. Because God's wrath for our sins already been poured out on our substitute. So we don't fear His wrath. The Amplified says that we're to fear to not believe the promise of God. That's what we fear. And it's a cautious fear. It's a watchfulness over our faith. Look back in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. It's a watchfulness, a cautious watchfulness over our faith. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith, and prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates? But I trust that ye shall know that you're not reprobates. Well, how will you know that? By examining yourself. Examine your faith. Look over 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter 1, verse 10. Peter writes, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. And that's what Paul's telling us back here in Hebrews, to have a watchfulness over your faith. Because our faith is what enables us to rest in Christ. He tells us in verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now here's something to give thanks for. Just think about this. The gospel of Christ has been preached to us. That's amazing grace. God's gospel, the gospel of His Son, has been preached to us. This is the gospel of God's grace. Not a false gospel of works that's been preached to you. It's a gospel of grace. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We preach Him, who He is, what He did, why did He do it, and where He is now. It's a gospel all concerning Him. It's a gospel that tells us salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the gospel of the substitutionary sacrifice of Christ. The gospel of His blood that cleanses us from all sin. This is the gospel that tells us how Christ satisfied God's law and God's justice on our behalf as our representative. It's the gospel that tells us how God can be both just and justified. The gospel not just of his death, but of his resurrection. That he was raised again for our justification. The gospel of his glorious ascension back to the Father, where he sits till the time comes he comes back to gather his people to himself. Now that gospel has been preached to us. For some of us here, all of our lives, your whole life long, the gospel has been preached to you. Give thanks. And give thanks if you believe it. Now this same gospel, this is a warning, this same gospel was preached to those Jews who were in the wilderness. But they didn't believe. It didn't do them any good because it wasn't mixed with faith. Now the same gospel was preached to them. And you know why I know it's the same gospel? Because there's just one. There's only one gospel because there's just one Savior. The same gospel was preached to them. Now it's preached to them in type and promise and picture, but it was preached to them, but it didn't do them any good because they didn't believe God. Look back at Romans chapter 1. How we give thanks. Not that only that the gospel has been preached to us, but that God's given us faith to believe. Romans 1, verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, from one degree of faith to another. As it's written, the just shall live by faith. The just live by faith. And that's what Paul's saying. They didn't live by faith. So the word preached didn't profit them. You see, the gospel is the food. Christ is the bread of life. But faith is the hand that takes it and eats it, puts it in the mouth. That's when the body's nourished, when we take and eat the food. This afternoon, you go home, it's not going to do you any good to look at that food on your plate. Just sit there and look at it. You hear other people talk about, oh, this is so good. Oh, it made me feel so good. It refreshed me. Listening to others talk about how wonderful it is, you have to take it and eat it before it'll do your body any good. And the same's true with the gospel. It has to be your faith. You can't just, it doesn't do you any good to sit and listen to others talk about what a blessing the message was. It doesn't do you any good to hear others talk about how wonderful rest in the Lord Jesus Christ is. It doesn't do you any good to hear others talk about how Christ is their all and in all. You have to take it. It has to be mixed with faith. So, verse 3, Paul says, for we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, they shall enter or they shall not enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now, everyone who believes on Christ enters into spiritual rest. We rest from salvation by works. We rest from the burden of the law and sin. We rest in Him. In Romans 5, verse 1, Paul writes, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we have peace? By faith. By believing and resting in Him. But now only those who believe, only those who have faith in Christ can enjoy this rest. God has sworn those who do not believe in Him will not enter into this rest, will not have this rest. That's where we ended our lesson last week in verse 19 of chapter 3. So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. They couldn't enter into that picture of rest in the promised land because of unbelief. Look back at Mark chapter 16. Mark 16, verse 15. And our Lord said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Those who do not believe won't enter into rest in this life or in the life to come. We must have faith in Him. But God's children, those who believe, who have this God-given faith, they can rest. Because this work of redemption is finished. In a sense, it's been finished from before the foundation of the world. Before God ever created this world, He elected a people unto salvation, gave them to His Son to be their surety. And in the mind and purpose of God, those He elected were redeemed. It was sure. His purpose was sure to happen, and they were redeemed. But in time, Christ had to come as a man. He had to come. He had to work out that perfect righteousness that He would give His people. He had to suffer and bleed and die in time. He actually had to offer that sacrifice. He is the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. And in time He came. And He did accomplish all of God's purpose. So we can rest in Him. This isn't just some new thing somebody cooked up. This is the eternal gospel. He's the eternal Savior from the foundation of the world. Now verse 4. Paul begins to tell us what this rest is not. For He spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And God did rest the seventh day from all His works. Now the believer's rest is not like God's rest on the seventh day after He finished all His works of creation. Creation was finished. And God rested from His works of creation, didn't He? But He didn't rest from all of His work. He didn't rest from His works of providence. He didn't rest from His works of ruling over His creation. He didn't rest from His works in calling out His people. But He did rest from His works of creation because that work was finished. And look back in Genesis chapter 1. I like to read the story of God's creation. Not only was that work done, it was good. In Genesis 1, verse 3, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Verse 10, and God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called He the seas. And God saw that it was good. Verse 12, and the earth brought forth grass and herb, yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 18, God made the lights to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. Verse 21, and God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Verse 25, and God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And verse 31, and God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. He rested from His work of creation because it was finished and it was good. God rested, but He didn't rest from all His other works of providence and ruling over His creation. And when we rest in Christ, that rest is complete. There's no more work. It's complete because He's finished the work for us. Well, verse 5, Paul says, back in our text, in this place again, if they shall enter into My rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Now the promised land in Canaan was a picture of the rest that believers have in Christ. And that's all it was a picture. But those Jews that came out of Egypt, they didn't enter in because of unbelief. They went back and died in the wilderness. But some did enter in. Some did enter into Canaan, the promised land. And you know why they entered in? Because God promised them. You can read that back in Genesis 17, verses 6 through 8. God promised that land to Abraham and to his seed. And his seed entered in all those years later because God's promise will be fulfilled. His word will be fulfilled. And that's why they entered in. But the rest for believers, the rest that God's reserved for believers in this life is not Canaan. It's not going to do you any good to go over there to that land now. There ain't no rest there. All there is wars and fighting. Our rest is not there. It's not in any place in this earth. You'll never find any rest in a place in this world because it's filled with sin. But that's not the believer's rest. Well, look on in verse 7. And again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time as it is said, today, if you would hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Now, the Lord did limit in the law a certain day for rest, the Sabbath day. That was the Jewish day of rest on Saturday, the seventh day. But that day was only given as a picture of our rest in Christ. To the Jews, that Sabbath day became a hardship. It wasn't a day of rest. It was a day of hardship. They spent all their time scared the whole day. Would I take too many steps? I'd try to count all their steps. You know, do I pick up too many sticks? You know, do I stop and get my mule out or my cow or something out of the ditch? Is that too much work? There's no rest in that. There's no rest in that because there's never. You will never find rest in the law, following the law. The believer's rest is not a day. It's in Christ. Well, verse 8. Paul says, for if Jesus, and that word Jesus, Joshua, had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? Now, the word Jesus here is Joshua. The New Testament word for Joshua is Jesus. Joshua was a type of Christ. He did lead the children of Israel into the promised land, didn't he? Moses couldn't lead them in. Moses is a type of the law. And the law can never lead anyone into rest. But Joshua did. He led them into rest. A land flowing with milk and honey. And that's what Christ does. He gives His people rest in Him. But the rest that's reserved for believers, like I said a minute ago, is not Canaan. It's not any place on this earth. Those children of Israel entered into the promised land, didn't they? And for a while, they had rest. They had rest from all their enemies. They had rest from affliction. But it just lasted for a while. After a while, they lost it. Because of unbelief, idolatry, and rebellion. They lost that rest. And they were carried away, weren't they? Then the Lord bring them back. And they'd have rest for a while, and they'd fall into idolatry. They'd get carried away into slavery by somebody else. So that's not our rest. Well, look at verse 9. Paul says, there remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God. God's people, the ones the Father elected, the ones the Son came to die for, the one that the Spirit gives life and calls to Christ, they do enter into spiritual rest. Right now, in this life, we have rest. In heaven, when the Lord calls us out of this life into the next life, heaven, all that is a continuation and a perfection of what God's given you now in your heart by faith. It's just a perfection of it. It's a continuation of it. And there is a rest for God's people. Now, Paul showed us it's not God's works of creation, like the rest He had when He finished creation. It's not rest in the promised land or any place on this earth. It's not a rest in the Sabbath day. The believer's rest is a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 10. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Now, this he that Paul's talking about here is the Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, our substitute. When he came to this earth as a man, he came on a mission. He came with a work that the Father gave him to do. Don't you know I must be about my Father's business, the work He gave me to do? Look over in Isaiah 61. Way back there, Isaiah told us what's his work going to be. He came to preach the gospel. In Isaiah 61, verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Our Lord came and preached the gospel of salvation in Him. He came to work, to work out a perfect righteousness, to obey the law in every single jot and tittle, minute detail of the law. He fulfilled it. He worked hard at that now, and He imputes that righteousness, He imputes that obedience to His people. That's what He gives to us, the fruit of His labor. He came to be our high priest, to offer Himself as a sacrifice to God, to offer His blood as that will atone for all the sin of those that the Father gave Him to do. And as our Savior hung there on Calvary's cross, what did He cry? It is finished. The work of redemption, all the work that the Father gave Him to do, is finished. He finished His work, He hung His head, and gave up the ghost, and rested from His work. Because His work of redemption is eternally finished. Nothing will ever needed to be added to it. It's finished. And now, our Lord Jesus is seated at the Father's right hand where He sits. He sits because His work is finished. He sees from His works of redemption, just like the Father sees from His works of creation. And when by God's grace, God calls us to faith in Christ, we enter into Him, we cease from our works. We cease from our works of trying to gain God's acceptance. We cease from our works of the law. We cease our works of religion. And we rest. We rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because, my friends, there's nothing left to do. That's why we rest. He's done everything that ever was or ever will be required of us. He finished it for us. So we rest because the work's finished. Now, verse 11. Paul says, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief." Now, I'll look this word labor up this week. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest. This word labor doesn't mean toil. It doesn't mean work. Other places you see the word labor, that's what it means, toil or work. That's not what this word means. This is what it means in the concordance. It means to use speed, to use diligence and earnestness, to make an effort to be prompt and to study. Let us labor, therefore. Let us desire, therefore, to enter into that rest in Christ right now, today, in this life. And now no believer, I said this before and I say it again, will ever fall short of entering into eternal rest in glory. We never will because God won't allow that. We won't fall short through unbelief because God won't allow it. Everyone for whom Christ died will enter into rest in glory someday. But go back to the definition of this word labor. Let's use diligence and earnestness. Let's be serious about the gospel. Let's be serious about this matter of learning more of the Lord Jesus Christ. And use some speed about this thing. Don't delay. Today, enter into that rest. Today, lay hold on Him. Today, learn more of Him. Be prompt. My family kind of makes fun of me. I think it's awful important to be prompt. I like to be prompt. I think it's rude not to be prompt. I like being prompt. It drives me nuts not to be prompt. It drives me nuts not to be early. But anyway, let's be prompt about this thing of entering into rest. Let's be prompt today. Lay hold on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why would you wait a minute to deny yourself rest in Him? Be prompt. Lay hold on Him. I thought this week, if we're in Christ, we believe on Him. It's high time we rested. He's left nothing undone. It's high time we rested. Well, how do I do that? By studying the Word. By reading the Word. By attending the worship service. Preparing your heart to come hear the Word and worship and learn more of Him. We do that by spending time in prayer. By spending time talking to our Father. That's how we enter into this rest. Learn more of Him. I've got a note written here in my Bible. Somebody else probably said it. I thought it was good and wrote it down. Resting in Christ in this life is labor. In this life, it's labor because of the sin nature that we're born with. It's labor. And we may, at times, fall short of entering into this rest because of sin that's in us and the awful nature of unbelief we're born with. And in a way, the rest, how much we enjoy this rest, depends on us, on our faith, on our diligence to look into these things. If we're not resting in Christ, we've got nobody to blame but ourselves. It's not His fault. My fault. He's not changed. His work's not changed. His work's not unfinished in some way. It's my fault. And again, no believer now, no child of God will ever fall short of that eternal rest. You know why? Because that doesn't depend in any way on me. That depends entirely on the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's perfectly finished that work. So while we do rest in Christ for all of our salvation, we completely, totally rest, because those works are finished. We do labor to know more of Him, don't we? That's my desire. I labor to know more of Him. And pray He give us more faith. All right. Hope that's been a blessing.